And when we think of the word broken, my mind goes back to when I was a child. Anytime that my toys broke or my bicycle broke or things as such, it was really bothersome to me. And I was always trying to figure out, how can I fix this? And if I couldn't fix it, I'd ask one of my big brothers or my daddy or somebody, fix this for me. And very troublesome. So in a lot of ways, we think of other things that are broken. Tools, machines, maybe appliances in the house, especially for the lady folks. There's been times that maybe the wash machine or dryer breaks down, and that really, especially the wash machine, makes it really difficult, because if you don't get it fixed soon, you're going to have to go to the laundromat and spend a couple hours there. But these type of things, typically when we think of something that's broken, it's in a negative context. Also, broken vows, broken promises, broken relationships, broken marriages, all these things, it has a negative ring to it typically when we think of something that's broken. But I want to look at this in a little different perspective, maybe put on some spiritual glasses, so to speak, and how God looks at being broken in a different way than what we think of it. There's also some folks that maybe their health is broken. And maybe it truly wasn't their fault. Or maybe they have a disability that they were born with, and God saw fit that that's how it was going to be. Or you name it. There's all kinds of things out there that being broken, everyone's like, ooh, man, that's kind of a bad deal. And you feel sorry for them or whatever the case is. But I want to encourage us tonight that being broken in the Lord's hands is not such a bad thing. And perhaps one of the best examples of this, we all know this familiar story of good old Job. In Job, the 16th chapter, I want to read a little bit about this, because he felt broken. But you see, Job, he definitely had some reasons to complain, didn't he? Well, and y'all help me out here this evening. What were all the things that were broken in his life? Okay, someone help us out. What did he lose, or what had he lost, and what was broken in his life? Anyone?
Lost his children.
His children. Okay, and they didn't just move off; they were dead. Okay,
his health.
That's two things.
Possessions.
His possessions and his wealth had nothing to sustain, you know, nothing to live on. No income. Okay? So anything else?
How about the bond between him and his
wife? The relationship was not the greatest, was it? Because what did she tell Job to do?
Curse God and die.
That's right. Just now, what kind of a companion is that? I mean, after all these things took place, you lost your own children, and for your companion to come up to you and say, just curse God and die. I mean, that's a death wish. In other words, I don't really care for you. I want to start over with someone else. Did you ever think about what that felt like to Job? That what? Anything else that was broken?
Lost the respect that everyone was doing.
That's right. That's a very key element. It was as if there was no one else out there to comfort him. What was it called? Job's comforters, his so-called friends? That tried to come along and basically telling him, like Cliff was saying, that, well, you must have done something bad. You sinned here and you did that and all these bad things. And he's like, well, but God just took him, you know. So truly, Job was broken. And so he had reason to complain. And in fact, he did complain a little bit. Maybe not a little bit. He maybe complained a lot. But yet, through all of that, he didn't lose his integrity. But in Job, the 16th chapter, in verse 12, it says, I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. Now let's just stop and consider that for a moment. obviously, Job was wealthy. Job was very blessed. Job had everything going. You could say in modern day terms, he had the perfect American dream. Beautiful children, had a large bank account, his businesses were going well, beautiful wife, good marriage, great health, and just a picture perfect American dream. Everything was going wonderful. And you could say possibly he was at ease. Now, I don't believe he was at ease with God per se, but he was just kind of gliding along through life. God had blessed him with that, and he appreciated that, and no doubt he was thanking God for that. He was a man of integrity. But then it says, "But he hath broken me asunder, and he hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark." Now let's just stop and dissect these last two phrases. "He hath taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces." Now, the image that comes to my mind is, how many of y'all have ever seen a dog get a hold of a little rag or its toy or maybe a dead animal that it's killed, and it gets this thing in its mouth and it just shakes it for all it's worth, just shaking it back and forth. And sometimes maybe it's a little animal, a little rodent or something that's maybe just injured, and this dog has caught it and it's just wanting to play with it. And it'll just shake it back and forth and back and forth, and not a very pleasant experience for the little rodent or the varmint. But that's what Job was feeling like here. It's as if life has taken him by the neck, so to speak, and not that he's blaming God, but God has allowed this and just shaken the life out of him and breaking his neck and everything about him. And then it says, and set me up for his mark. And then it's almost like I'm in the bullseye here, or in the crosshairs of the next arrow that's going to come, and what's next? You know, he doesn't know, what else can I lose? And ultimately his health was like, all these things, I can't imagine being in Job's situation and in his, I've not lost all that, okay? And no doubt some of us here have lost at least one or two of these things, of these five things that Job lost. But he lost all five of those things, was truly broken to pieces. There's another scripture here in the 14th verse. "And he breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant." Have you ever felt like... felt intimidated by someone that's bigger and stronger than you? I remember a lot of times when I was younger, of course I did. Whether it was my big brothers or my big cousins or playing games with them or sports with them, and they're towering over me and just felt greatly at a disadvantage. And even as an adult, playing some games sometimes with some bigger boys than me and feeling like, whoa, I bet, you know. But here Job is feeling like, he runneth upon me like a giant. I have envisioned, some little child that's maybe a 3 or 4 year old that really doesn't comprehend. Maybe they take something, that says, say, laying in the street, and maybe it's just a little ball or something, and they pick this ball up innocently. Oh, I want to play with this little ball, and nothing wrong with it, and takes the ball, but they realize then that it's this other person's ball that's sitting on a bench maybe down the street here, and it's this big 6'10" Goliath of a guy, and he comes running at this little innocent child saying, "That's my ball, and you better," and this little child's going, "Well, okay," but he's feeling at such great disadvantage, and maybe this giant, so to speak, takes advantage of the child and injures him, hurts him, throws him around, like, "Give me my ball back," you know. And that's kind of like how Job is feeling. He's like, there's no one else around to defend me, it feels like. And in fact, he asked, you know, "Where are you, God?" He felt alone. His wife forsook him, and all the rest of his family is gone, and all his friends forsook him, and he's feeling all alone. And now I'm faced with this giant of all these things that are broken in my life. Then it goes down to the 17th chapter, verse 11. It says, my days are past and my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. You ever been disappointed? Of course we have. We have many things, many plans, many hopes, many dreams of that I want to do this with my life, or I want to do this by this certain stage, and I want to accomplish that, and I want to help this person over here, and I want to do all these things, and it just like all falls apart. And it turns out totally opposite of what I'd planned. Or maybe there's some other heartache and someone else's life is broken and you had aspirations for them, and maybe it's in a relationship and like, well, now that's never going to happen. And well, now what, you know, and you're disappointed. That's what Job is feeling like. Perhaps he had many plans and dreams for his children, his grandchildren, and to do all these things with them. And now they're gone. And what else does he have? Again, his purposes broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. But you know, through all of this, and you remember the scripture, and it's back in the 13th chapter, Job, his trust in God was astounding. I cannot fathom. He did not yet have the new covenant, the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that we have as available to us now. And yet he got a hold of God and faith in God so much that this is what he said in Job 13 and 15. It says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. You know what that tells me? He was determined that though Satan wants to take all these things from me, because ultimately that's what he finally figured out through the Lord's inspiration of the Lord and through the Lord speaking to him and said, okay, Job, you threw complaining. Now let me tell you, you know, what have you done? What have you created? And what power do you have? And the Lord, but when all was said and done, and Job, it's as if he kind of tucked his head down and said, Lord, well, there's another scripture that says, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And he realized that, he said, naked I came into this world and naked I'll return. In other words, I came into the world with nothing and I'm going to return with nothing. And he had the confidence that realizing that if God is pleased to take these things from me, then I know that there's still going to be a way to live for him. He's not taking my life. So God's going to find a way, whether he takes me on to glory now or whether he leaves me here on this earth, that he's going to give me the power and the strength to persevere on. But through that, in being sick, how many times have we been, I'll just use myself for example. When I get the flu and a really bad case of it, it's like, am I ever going to get well? And this is just terrible and I can't function. I can't do all these things. And not that I think, well, I'm going to die with it, however some people do, but it's as if it alters your mind sometimes, okay, when you get really sick. And here's a man that is sick beyond what I can fathom, with these boils all over and just miserable, can't sleep, can't get comfortable. And yet, he's thinking, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. There's got to be something in this. Because he had found through his life up to this point, God had never failed him. God had blessed all these things, and perhaps there had been some difficult situations with his family before, and God worked those things out. I don't know, but I just suppose that he lived a normal life like you and I. And we have difficulties we have to work through, and we've had afflictions, and we've had loss of different things. And so I'm thinking that all these years prior to this, he had been practicing trusting the Lord. Okay, it doesn't go in detail about that, but I truly believe he had already had some brokenness. He had already had some great losses, and he had learned how to trust the Lord. So that's why I believe God told Satan when he came up and said, oh, well, you seem to be putting a hedge around old Job over here. And the Lord said, why don't you just try him? God had confidence, if you could say it that way, in Job's walk with the Lord. And truly, Job proved that he was trustworthy as well. But then it goes on in chapter 42 in verse 2. He says, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. In other words, Job knew that God could put all the pieces back together. And put all the pieces back together to form whatever he wanted to form. If he wanted to form a new vessel, so to speak. If he wanted to put Job back together, his life back together, to go travel somewhere and be a help to someone else, Job was confident in that and he was willing to do that, whatever. But, and if he was willing to give his children back and his wealth and all these, he was willing to accept that. But he was also, you know what that tells me? He was willing to accept, Lord, you can heal me of these boils. And then maybe 5 or 10 years from now, you may give me another affliction, but I'm going to trust you in that too. He was willing to allow God to put all the, and maybe you could say it this way. He was willing for God to take all the boils away except for one. You understand what I'm saying? That even if God healed him, but just left one boil there for a while, just as a reminder, he was okay with that. It was a perfect trust and confidence in the Lord that, Lord, you can do anything you want to with my life. That's true consecration. That is true dedication and confidence and trust in the Lord. And he's saying, you can do whatever you please, Lord. I know that you can do anything. You can give me everything back, or you can give me just half of these things back, or you can give me none of it back. You're capable of all the above. And yet through this, I believe, like any of us, Job was hoping and expecting to get something back from the Lord. But I don't think for a minute that Job was expecting what God had in store for him. I don't think Job was really expecting double of all these things that he had had before. And Job 42 and 10, this is the conclusion of Job. It says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So all these things we talked about before that he lost and that was broken in his life, God gave those back double fold. In one aspect, I can look at it this way, that I think Job came out not only stronger physically, but I believe Job grew spiritually double-fold as well. Not only did he get children in return and his relationship with his wife restored and all the wealth and all these things and God healed him physically and maybe made him stronger and all these things, but also I believe he increased his spiritual caliber, so to speak. Because look at what all God did for him. And Job was like, wow. And considering his friends, no doubt his friends were multiplied and they were restored eventually, you know. And I can only imagine the astonishment of his friends later after all this takes place and God blesses him. And then his friends stop by one day and like, wow, you're up walking around, you're working and you there's no boils. And your wife, you all are just enjoying your marriage and all these things. And then your children and now I see all these cattle and all your livestock out there. And they're just like, wow, amazed. And besides all the things that Job was blessed with and God restored back to him. And truly, he was a blessing to his friends. But beyond that, think how many times the story of Job has been used to encourage us over the years. And not just in our day and age. We're talking 100 years ago, people were using the story of Job. 500 years ago, people were using the story of Job. Back in Jesus' days, people were using the story of Job to encourage us. That guess what? Being broken is not all that bad as long as you're being broken in the Lord's hands, okay? Because He can make of you then what He would want to make. There's a few promises here I want to read in the book of Psalms. Promises to those that are broken. Psalms 34 and 18 and 19. Let's read these. These are familiar scriptures. Psalms 34, 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of them all. Delivereth him out of them all. Now, what do you take from that? Aren't those wonderful promises? That though we may be experiencing some brokenness, or that maybe some of our loved ones are experiencing some brokenness, these are some promises that we can hang on to, saying, Lord, You promised that You would be nigh unto those that are of a broken heart, and that You would save those that are of a contrite spirit, and that You would deliver them out of them all. But the key again is the afflictions of the righteous. And it also says of a contrite spirit. That means that we acknowledge who God is, and we acknowledge that our righteousness is as filthy rags, that it's only God's mercies that's going to help us through any of this. And a contrite spirit, meaning we realize we can't, that we can't help ourselves. That I've got myself in this predicament, and maybe the Lord has allowed this, and I don't know how to get myself out of this, but Lord, I know that You have a way out. I know that You have a special blessing in this, just like Job got a hold of. And he said, what did he say? Though when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That all these imperfections and things will be burned up and purged out of my life. That I will be something usable. You see, that's what, if you can think of this, that true gold that has been purged and purified, it can be used in marvelous ways. Did you realize that gold can be, I can't remember the amount of gold it is, but gold can be hammered so flat and thin that it's almost like a little film that can float in the air. Now, is that amazing or what? It can be hammered so thin, and it can be used in so many ways to form around stuff and to layer things and to make it beautiful and all these things. That's what gold, with all these imperfections that are burned out of it and hammered out of it, so to speak, can be used for such a glorious use in the Lord's hands. You realize that's what the Lord's wanting to do with us. But we first have to be broken in His hands. And another one in Psalms, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now we'll shift gears just a little bit. And you remember the stories in the Bible? I'm just going to read one of them here in Mark, the 8th chapter. You remember the stories when Jesus fed the multitude? Sometimes we don't maybe think of it this way, but when the one story, and I didn't check to see if it was this one or another one, where the boy or the child had, we're assuming that's what it was, had some loaves and fishes, and was willing to share them. And God used this and multiplied the fishes and the loaves and fed thousands of people with one little basket. But the key was that little boy had to give it up to the Lord, so to speak, part with it, no strings attached, say, here you go. And the Lord Jesus was able to take that and bless not just His disciples and not just the first few and the first hundred and the first few rows there, layers deep, but the whole multitude that was there. There wasn't one person that was not fed. Now, how did God do that? He had to take something that was given to Him. You could say of a a contrite heart, that this is yours. I'm not reserving any of it for me, that it's yours, Lord. Whatever you want to do with it. And Jesus was able to break the fishes and the loaves and just kept breaking them and blessing them and handing them out. And there was just no end to it. And there was leftovers. The leftovers were more than what was began with, than what they began with. Then there was also the story of Jesus in the Last Supper, breaking bread and giving thanks. It says he broke it and gave to them and saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now I'm going to focus here just a little bit on this bread. You realize that the bread, of course, was a symbol of Jesus' body. And we've heard this mentioned before in ordinance services when we do the these ordinances, that the breaking of the bread, and it's made from wheat, but that wheat, before it can be made into bread and before it's made into flour, has to be bruised and crushed and broken. That's what has to happen to those wheat kernels before you can make flour out of it. Then you use that flour and make the wheat meal and make the bread. So it is with our lives. If God wants to use us to bless someone else, just as Jesus did, we're going to have to die to self. We're going to have to die to our own selfish desires, ambitions, and dreams, and plans, and all these things that we had, just like Job had for his life, for his children and grandchildren, for his property and all his goods, and for his health, had great plans he wanted to do. But he had to give it to, commit it to the Lord. Let it be broken in the Lord's hands, as if these wheat kernels crushed, so to speak, and made into powder, into flour. Then God took those wheat kernels, our lives, our ambitions, our dreams, all those things, and formed something that was nourishment, that was health, that was strength, that was life to not only us, but to some other souls. And God wants to do that with each and every one of us, that we would be broken in His hands and useful. Well, Jesus, of course, we all know what the end of His life was. He was broken and bruised for us and spilled out. I think there's a song that some sisters have sang before. I can't remember all the words now. Broken and spilled out. His love, his life, everything about Him. He allowed Himself to be taken advantage of. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Where people did all these things to Him, and He allowed it, knowing that He must die, that there would be life for you and I. You know, that's the same with us today. We must die. Understand what I'm saying? Our selfish desires must die if we are to live spiritually, and if we are to live eternally with the Lord. Those things must be died. Those things must be broken and spilled out before the Lord. Say, "Lord, what do you want to do with them?" Just like Job. And Job could have. You realize Job could have cursed God the first thing that was taken from him? And look what we would have missed out on. Look what he would have missed out on. If his children were taken from him and if he would have cursed God then, the devil would have said, "Aha, I knew he could not be trusted. And I knew you, God, could not be trusted either." You understand that? And the second thing, and all his riches, his wealth, all those things, and maybe he made it through one or two or three, but somewhere along the line, Job got weary of being broken and said, "This is enough." It's like he drew the line in the sand saying, "Lord, you can't take any more. You can't." And look what he would have missed out on. He would have missed out on the wonderful blessings, the double-fold blessing that God gave him. He would have missed out on that. And look what we would have missed out on. The encouraging words of Job recorded here of this story. So Lord, help us. that if we be broken in the Lord's hands and used and formed into whatever He wants us to be, that we can be a blessing to those that are coming behind us. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what, fast forward 10 years in your life and in my life. Fast forward 10 years. What do you think is going to be in your life? We don't know. We can guess, but we really don't. Go back 10 years. What has happened in the last 10 years in your life? The last 20 years. So let's move forward 20 years. What will it be like in 20 years from now? Maybe 30 years. Will there be some more broken things in your life that God has allowed? Just like Job? And then the challenge is, it may be easy to commit now because everything is going pretty well. But when those broken times happen, allow God to use those for your good and for my good. As the scripture says in Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good. The key is to those that love the Lord. Because I want to tell you something, like we mentioned this morning, those with thorns and briars in their lives, guess what? They're being broken too. And they're being crushed. But they're allowing that brokenness to destroy them and destroy those around them. Because they haven't committed it to the Lord and gave whatever was broken back to the Lord. Say, Lord, here it is. I can't fix it. It's just like they just scatter it to the wind. It's broken, and who cares? What's next? You know. But I'm thankful that with the Lord, loving the Lord, there is always hope that He's going to make something that looks like a mess. He's going to make something that's broken in pieces, and He can mold it back into something. Just like if I took this styrofoam cup. Have you ever seen a little child that has taken a little styrofoam cup and chewed on it into all kinds of pieces? And it's just, it can't be used. But you know what can happen with that? You realize you can take, now I don't have the means of doing this, but whether it's foam or these type of things, and you can melt them down. And you could make something else and make another vessel out of it that could be used. That's what the Lord wants to do with you and I. If we feel there's some brokenness there and we feel like we're being broken, be encouraged. We can be like Job. We may not get double fold. So let's not get greedy here. We may only get exactly what the Lord gave us before. Or we may only get a fraction of it. Or we may get three times. I don't know what the Lord has in mind or in store for any of us. But be confident in this. God knows how to get us to heaven. We don't know how. But God knows how to get us to heaven. God knew how to get Job to heaven. And He knew that there were some things He had to bring Job down to a level to acknowledge who God really was. And guess what? Job finally acknowledged that. And that's when he was able to pray for his friends. That was the turning point. He acknowledged God for who He was, saying, "Oh God, You are truly powerful. You are truly all-knowing. You're a wonderful Creator. All these things You've created. And You've allowed these things." And he committed to the Lord's hands, and God turned that around. What a beautiful picture. So I want to encourage us tonight. God can do the same with your life. You feel like it's broken? Allow God to use it. Allow God to work and to mold. And you never know how it might bless not just your soul, but someone else that's watching in the shadows. You pray for me that I'd be faithful.